From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And tomorrow is primary election day in Illinois, or rather the end of the primary election season. The polls are going to be open from 6 in the morning to 7 at night as voters decide who will represent the major parties in this fall's elections, from county boards all the way up to the governor's race. There are many big elections to follow, and a lot of advertisements about them as well.
Hi, I'm Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza.
And I'm Holly Kim, Lake County Treasurer and candidate for Comptroller.
I've done the job of Comptroller for the last decade. It's a role that requires real skills to get it done.
Susana got it done. 10 credit upgrades, rebuilt our rainy day fund, and saved billions for taxpayers.
Thanks, Holly. But to keep that going, we need to hire a smart money manager.
Republicans should always nominate the most conservative candidate who can win. That's me. It's why leading pro-lifers, American firsters, and conservative reformers support me. I'm Ted Dabrowski, and I'm asking for your vote.
I'm the only one with a real plan to hold Trump accountable. I'm Rajai Krishnamoorthy. I approve this message. People can lie and call me names, but as always, you can just call me Raja.
All right. Those are some of the ads people have been hearing in this election campaign. With me now to talk through all of these races and more is Mawa Iqbal, State House reporter for NPR stations across Illinois. Mawa, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Mitchell Armantrout is also with us, government and politics reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Mitchell, welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian. Glad to be here.
And listeners, you can join us today, 800-222-9455. What do you think about this year's elections? What questions do you have? Maybe you've already voted. What are you seeing out there as you are early voting this year? And if not, what are your plans to vote? Let us know, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Mawa, let's start with the race for United States Senator. This is to succeed Dick Durbin, who is not running for re-election. I should say we've talked on the program with most of the candidates, Democratic and Republican. You can find recaps in the full interviews at our website, 21stshow.org. But that said, Mawa Iqbal, on the Democratic side, how are things looking?
Yes. So we are in the final stretch. As we know, the primaries are tomorrow. And I would say that you know, we have three front runners, as some of our listeners probably know, in the Democratic primary. Right. So we have Congressman Rajai Krishnamoorthy, Congressman Robin Kelly, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. And their campaign season has been pretty interesting to watch, I would say, definitely around late January. So sort of in like the final third of the campaign season was when things started to ramp up when it comes to, you know, attack ads or these candidates trying to differentiate themselves. Of course, one of the main issues that especially Juliana Stratton has lobbed against Congressman Rajai Krishnamoorthy and Robin Kelly are that they accept corporate money, corporate donations from corporations. And that's something that she says she hasn't. Now, of course, Rajai Krishnamoorthy has said that you know, Juliana Stratton has accepted corporate money and has called her a hypocrite. There's also, you know, Robin Kelly has mostly stayed out of the fray, and she's even campaigned on that, releasing a TV ad saying that, you know, while my two opponents are bickering, I'm over here fighting for you guys. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who ends up winning tomorrow or you know, during these elections. Of course, Stratton has the backing of Governor Pritzker. He's funneled millions of dollars into a super PAC that is supporting her campaign. But Raja has also raised the most money by far. He's raised tens of millions of dollars total during this campaign season. So we'll really see if the money pays off for him or if it's Stratton's, you know, push from or support from our governor, who's relatively popular in Illinois.
Yeah, and I got to say, here at the 21st Show, we made a point of talking to as many of these candidates as we could. I think all but two of the 10 Democrats who are running. It really is seems to be down to a two-person race, yeah, if the polling is to be believed.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. I know that there are several Democratic candidates, but they just, their fundraising numbers, their polling numbers, they haven't been to the level that Kelly, Krishnamoorthy, and Stratton have seen. I think part of that's also because these three candidates are elected officials. And, you know, in Stratton's case, she's a statewide elected official and they've held their offices for many, many, many years. So they already have kind of the visibility going for them. And also, of course, as Stratton has pointed out, corporate interests and corporate PACs that are supporting their campaigns with lots of money.
Absolutely. All right, Mitchell Armantrout, let me bring you to the conversation. What's happening on the Republican side? Who is in contention there?
On the Republican side for Senate, I think the most familiar name to most Illinois voters is going to be Don Tracy. He's the former Illinois Gaming Board chair, chair of the Illinois Republican Party. You know, he's not necessarily a household name maybe to the average voter, but as far as the field that the party has managed to put together here, the closest thing to someone with, you know, a real record to run on. You've got Jeannie Evans. She's a Chicago attorney. But beyond that, the names get a little bit fuzzier. And I think that just kind of, again, speaks to some of the troubles that the Republican Party has run into in Illinois over the last 2 decades or so, but specifically this last decade under President Donald Trump, who remains incredibly unpopular in the Chicago suburbs. You know, talking DuPage County, Kane County, really these sort of Northwest and West suburban areas that for generations were kind of the base of the Illinois Republican Party, you know, Republican strongholds, you know, outside deep blue Chicago. And really, it just feels like in this race and in others, you know, statewide offices in general, Republicans haven't held a statewide office in Illinois since Bruce Rauner gave up his seat to J.B. Pritzker back in early 2019. It's tough times for the Republican Party these days.
It is remarkable, though, when you think about like 10 years ago today, half the statewide constitutional officers were Republican, right? You had a controller, you had the governor and the lieutenant governor, you had a United States senator in the form of Mark Kirk. It really has been quite a change in the last decade.
Right, Mark Kirk, and you know, I think a lot of folks will immediately think of Judy Pardubinka. You know, she's one of the most popular elected officials in Illinois history. I mean, she's up there with Jesse Jackson, Jesse White, former Secretary of State. Just in terms of sheer vote-getting prowess, you know, one of the most prolific vote-getters in Illinois history. And the Illinois GOP simply hasn't found that person to really coalesce behind, it seems like. And I'm not sure we're going to see that sort of uniter of the party this time around either, and really in any of these races. But we'll see.
Yeah, there's a line in the movie Star Trek VI, I'm getting nerdy here, where a Klingon says, "There shall be no peace as long as Kirk lives." And I feel like Republicans in Illinois are just not going to get elected as long as Trump is a figure in national politics. But I've tried that theory out on a lot of Republicans, and they all say I'm wrong about that. So we shall see how the elections turn out. Let's move on to the race for governor. J.B. Pritzker, the incumbent, obviously has no opponent in the Democratic primary. He has a new lieutenant governor pick, Christian Mitchell, a former state representative and a deputy governor. Mitchell, there are 4 Republicans in the race for governor. How are they trying to set themselves apart?
You've got, I will say first, like, in terms of setting themselves apart, there's really not a heck of a lot of that going on. This is a decidedly cordial 4-way primary. If you recall, 4 years ago, when Darren Bailey won the Republican nomination in a landslide, very contentious run-up to that primary, specifically with former Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin, who is kind of being propped up by folks, sort of remnants of the Bruce Rauner era. They saw him as kind of a more moderate candidate who would give him a shot to win in the general election. Did not pan out that way at all. They ended up electing certainly one of the most conservative Republican statewide candidates that Illinois has seen in a while. And we're seeing him again this time around. Darren Bailey, former state senator, pushed against a lot of Governor J.B. Pritzker's coronavirus mitigation efforts back in early 2020. You know, he's a Trump Republican. He's gotten Trump's endorsement in the past. He lost by a lot to Pritzker, almost 13 points in 2022. But you know, he brings name recognition. Folks have been talking about Darren Bailey for the better part of 6 years now. While he might not be, you know, necessarily, you know, beloved by suburban Republican voters here around Chicago, you know, he's still hugely popular downstate, just in a lot of parts of the state. And that's why Ted Dabrowski, he's a conservative activist, for the website. Wire Points, you might be familiar with, formerly of the Illinois Policy Institute, sort of a conservative think tank. He's sort of like a charts and graphs guy, a lot of statistics about the Illinois economy. He's kind of made a name for himself on social media. He's from the north suburbs of Chicago, and he says that he's, can actually win some of those counties for the Republican Party. He says it gives the party a better chance. He supported Darren Bailey the last time around, but he says that Bailey just can't win. Then sort of I guess the other two guys running in this race, less familiar names to a lot of folks who have been watching Illinois politics for a while. You've got Rick Heidner, who has made a pretty vast fortune in the video gaming or video gambling business. You've seen his Gold Rush amusement slot machines and hundreds of bars and restaurants across the state. And he sort of poses himself as another Trump Republican. That's one of his first campaign videos, is that he is the Trump Republican in this race. He's espoused some election theories that President he told me that President Biden, there's no way President Biden won the election in 2020, which is patently untrue, false. There's no evidence of that at all. But again, his campaign is more about business. He says taxes are too high in Illinois. Not exactly a controversial Republican take, and one that's shared by DuPage County Sheriff James Mendrick, who's the fourth runner in this race. Again, another official who has butted heads with the Trump administration. Mendrick refused to enforce the state's new assault weapons ban when that went into effect a couple of years ago. That's a law that was championed by J.B. Pritzker. And all these men, that's to say, is they basically say they're all, they support each other's policies. They agree that each of them, they say they'd each be better than J.B. Pritzker, but they vary in, they say, in terms of their ability to win. So again, J.B. Pritzker, a very popular official in Illinois. I think safe to say he's going to be the favorite November, no matter what. But we'll see if the Republicans are running it back or trying somebody new.
Yeah,
And one
it's
thing I'll
it,
add to,
please,
oh,
Maui. I was
sorry.
just going to say, if I can just to pivot back to you, it's just astounding to me that Darren Bailey lost by 13 points and he seems to be leading in the primary. And I guess it's telling that no other bigger names really stepped up. But Maui, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Bailey and also speaking of Trump, right? Sort of how the Illinois Republican Party has, what direction they've moved in light of the Trump administration, both administrations. And I think, especially with Bailey, the first time around when he ran in 2022, he did receive Trump's endorsement and he kind of positioned himself as the Trump Republican candidate. This time around, he has not received Trump's endorsement. As Mitch mentioned, that Rick Heidner has been talking about how he's the Trump Republican. And Bailey, he's sort of distanced himself from Trump, and a lot of his messaging, a lot of his campaign, commercials that he puts out, and even just on the campaign trail, like Sam Nofsker, who's an intern with us this year, he and I, or they and I, went to this coffee shop, this meetup that Darren Bailey was having in Verdon, Illinois. So it's like a 20-minute drive from Springfield, and there were many people there who came wearing Trump, MAGA hats and sort of Trump merch, bright red shirts and things. But Bailey didn't mention Trump even once. And I think that that's pretty significant to note, just given that this time around, Bailey is, I think, trying to appeal to some of those suburban sort of moderate voters that he wasn't able to the first time around. Like his running mate, Aaron Del Mar, is from the suburbs. And he told us that's something that was a strategic move almost, that they wanted to have an appeal all around the state. And so he's hoping that his running mate, Aaron Del Mar, we'll get the people in the north, while Bailey, who is popular downstate, will get the people downstate. But of course, with Bailey, I'm sure many of our listeners know that his family was struck with tragedy right on the campaign trail too. I believe it was his son and members of his grandchildren had passed away in a helicopter accident. So that's something that he also made a point of on the campaign trail, that, despite this tragedy, despite this huge familial loss, he's still on the campaign trail. He's still, fighting for Illinois voters. And honestly, I do think that is part of why he retains his popularity or just even his name recognition, because people read about that. They know his name, and you know that kind of sticks, I think, in people's minds.
Familiarity does count for a lot, especially in a relatively low information environment as we are these days, at least with anything other than national politics. All right, we're going to take a break on the program. We're talking with Mawa Iqbal of Illinois Public Radio and Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. We're recapping what is at stake and who some of the major candidates are in the primary election. Again, the voting is open now. The polls are open tomorrow from 6 in the morning to 7 at night. You can join us today again at 800-222-9455. We'll continue after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking through the top races on the primary ballots in Illinois this year with Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times and Mawa Iqbal with Illinois Public Radio. Polls are open tomorrow, 6 in the morning to 7 at night. Early voting has been underway for quite a while now. For more details on where to vote, consult your local election authority. For most of you, that's your county government, although there are a few municipal election authorities across Illinois as well. Obviously, Chicago is a big one, but some downstate as well. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, we can come back to some of the other statewide races if we have time, but let's talk about competitive races for the U.S. House of Representatives. And for time, maybe we need to keep this a little higher level, but Mitchell Armantrout, 2nd District, it goes from the south side of Chicago all the way down to Danville. This is one of those long districts that gave Democrats a huge advantage in their gerrymandering in their map. The incumbent, Robin Kelly, is running for Senate. The Republican is unopposed. So who are some of the notable names running in the Democratic primary to succeed Robin Kelly there?
At the top of that list is Jesse Jackson Jr., who held this seat for more than a decade in the late 90s, early 2000s, before he was convicted of using his campaign funds for personal expenses. That's a federal conviction for those keeping score at home. But he says he's a reformed man. You know, he's really put himself out there, just in terms of public speaking events, being, at the forefront with his father's organization, Rainbow Coalition, obviously a hugely influential group based in Chicago's Kenwood neighborhood. And he also happens to share names with the late civil rights icon who has been splashed across media, for the better part of a month straight. When the Reverend Jackson died last month, that was, national and international news. Not to be complete, like the totally jaded political reporter out there on the program, but it doesn't hurt when your name is splashed across all those headlines for a month at a time ahead of a critical election. The other main candidate I think most political operatives would agree in this race is Cook County Commissioner Donna Miller. She's a well-established South Suburban politician in her own right. She's also, raised significant funds, including a lot from AIPAC, which my colleague Mawa will tell you, is not necessarily the money you want to be associated with in an election in 2026, but it is helping her get her message out there. AIPAC obviously is a super PAC that is promotes candidates who support Israel and U.S. support of Israel unconditionally. Including, in light of the events we've seen in Gaza over the last couple of years. So that's something that Donna Miller's opponents have tried to attack her on. This is the other candidate in this race who I think has a chance of sort of setting themselves apart from a 10-person field. All these races we're talking about, very crowded, and we're seeing almost unprecedented money flowing into a lot of these races. But that candidate would be Robert Peters. He's a state senator, very progressive one at that. Who's really he's a product of Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle's sort of political might. He's definitely a protege of her. But it looks like this is coming down to Miller and Jesse Jackson Jr. I don't necessarily think this race or any of the others, for that matter, or many of the others, are going to be decided on election night. I think we're, going to have to wait to see a lot of these mail ballots come in. But this is a really tight one.
Mawa, you were teed up there by Mitchell. Let's talk about that. All this money. There's cryptocurrency money coming into these races. AIPAC has become a huge issue, and not just in this race, but in the Senate one as well, and elsewhere. What is happening? It seems like a crazy flood of money into Illinois politics this year.
It definitely is. And so a couple of colleagues and I, Chip Mitchell, Mariah Wolfel, we spent the last few weeks just kind of analyzing some of the spending, right, in these races. And in particular, we looked at four of these races. So the second district that Mitch just talked about, the seventh, eighth, and ninth districts. And as Mitch said, all of these Democratic primaries, there's like 15, a dozen or more people running in these races. So it's quite crowded. And I think, when we talked to political analysts, so we were able to get David Axelrod, who used to be the former chief of staff for President Obama, on the phone. And, his take is that these four congressional districts used to be occupied by lawmakers, by elected officials who've been there for decades. And so the fact that these people are now retiring, these incumbents are now retiring, means that there's a lot at stake here, right? So whoever can get into or whoever can win the Democratic primary in these four races is sure to win in November, given that these are very largely and strongly blue districts. And not only that, but that these people, whoever wins in March, so whoever wins in this primary, will stay in these offices for a really long time. And so you have this situation now where these super PACs, as we call them, that are propped up by these interests. So like AIPAC, which Mitch mentioned, which is the American Israel Political or Public Affairs Committee. You've got cryptocurrency PACs, you've got DraftKings, so sports betting PACs, you've got AI-aligned interest PACs. These are organizations that have amassed a lot of money last year, and they're continuing to amass a lot of money this year from donations, from private support, and are funneling millions and millions of dollars into these races to try to, steer a certain outcome. What we found in our analysis is that in these four races so far, there have been $33 million in outside spending that have been funneled in total. And just to put that in perspective, we were looking at individual candidates who ran the last time there were wide open seats in Illinois, wide open congressional seats. And that time was in 2022. We had, Delia Ramirez, who ran for her seat in the third district. We had Jonathan Jackson, who ran for his seat in the first district. And those individual candidates, when it came to outside spending, they had raised probably like $1 to $2 million at most. This time you have people like, Melissa Conyers Irvin in the seventh district. You have Donna Miller in the second district, Laura Fine in the ninth, and Melissa Bean in the eighth, who have received I would say probably between $5 to $10 million in outside spending to support their campaigns. So it's quite historic, and it's quite crazy also to keep track of. And I will say, one thing about the AIPAC spending in particular, and talking with David Axelrod too, he was saying that, this level, this volume of spending from AIPAC specifically is not new. This has been a thing that has happened for many, many, many years. They've been around for a very long time advocating for candidates who would advocate for friendlier relations with the US and Israel. But because of the war in Gaza, like Mitch had mentioned, because of what has happened this past year, the way they have been funneling this money has been more shrouded in mystery. So propping up shell PACs that don't really lead to anywhere, and funneling the money through these shell PACs and being more discreet about who they're supporting.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about super PACs here, and that's why these dollar figures are so high. I think it's worth remembering that these are a perversion of federal campaign finance law, or a loophole if you want to be soft about it. But because under, I'm looking at the FEC website right now, $3,500, that's all an individual is supposed to be able to give to a candidate. And a PAC is supposed to be able to give $3,500 per election, not tens of millions. But there's this fig leaf of, well, they don't coordinate. They're totally operating independently. That's why,
right?
You know, that's why they can get around these federal laws. It's just some people who happen to get together and spend their tens of millions of dollars, you know, for their crypto buddies. Okay, I'm gonna get off a soapbox there because our time is running short, and I do want to touch on one of the most closely watched other congressional races here, Moa, and that is the 9th District, in which goes the north side of Chicago up to the North Shore, an incredibly crowded primary race. 15 Democrats are hoping to succeed Jan Schakowsky, who's retiring. And this is one of those, like you say, somebody gets in this seat, they could hold it for a generation. What's the latest in that race?
Right. So in this race, too, similarly to the U.S. Senate Democratic primary, there seems to have been three front runners that have emerged. So we have Daniel Biss, who is the mayor of Evanston. We also have Laura Fine, who I mentioned a couple minutes ago. She's a state senator. And we have Kat Abu-Ghazaleh, who is a content streamer, Twitch streamer, former journalist, more progressive, more leftist. And it's been very interesting to watch this race because, you know, similarly with the Senate race, I would say around January is when things started heating up. And the way it started was, you know, Biss and Abu-Ghazaleh both lobbed criticisms against Fine for receiving some of this AIPAC money. And it's important to know that Kat is Palestinian. And Biss is actually, his mother's Israeli, and he is the grandson of Holocaust survivors. So he's been very outspoken in his support for Israel and you know, a two-state solution and for friendly relations with U.S. and Israel. But he, this campaign, has been very sharply critical of Fine and of AIPAC in general, and says that, you know, anyone who supports a blank check of unconditional military aid to Israel while this humanitarian crisis is unfolding in Gaza is dangerous. And he says that's a person, that's a candidate that should not be trusted. And I will say, too, that, you know, speaking of some of these shell PACs that have emerged as sort of like conduits of AIPAC money to support Fine, one of the shell PACs that's emerged recently, it's called the Chicago Progressive Partnership. They've recently funneled millions of dollars into attack ads against Biss and Abu-Ghazaleh because of their outspoken criticism of AIPAC and their just sharp critiques of Israel. And what's interesting that's sort of been a development in recent days is that there is another sort of like far off candidate. You know, it's sort of like a long shot candidate, but it's, I guess, is how I'd describe her. Her name is Bushra Amiwala, and she is was formerly a school board member from Skokie, so like one of the suburbs. And this PAC that has been funneling money into running ads that are against Abu-Ghazaleh has also started running positive ads for Bushra Amiwala in, I guess, an attempt to split the vote, essentially. So we'll see what happens. One thing I will say, too, that's important to note is that Biss has received the endorsement of Jan Schakowsky, and Schakowsky has herself come out and said, you know, I don't support anyone who is beholden to these super PACs interests who are getting all this money. That's not someone that I would ever give my endorsement to. She's also withdrawn her endorsement of another quote unquote AIPAC backed candidate in another congressional race. So I'm very interested I'm very interested to see how these dynamics actually play out. Like if you know, Biss ends up winning, or if the AIPAC funded candidate in this race would be Laura Fine if she ends up winning. So we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's probably not the thing that voters are going to pay attention to because of all these other things that have come up, as you pointed out. But I was just really interested, too, in the idea of, you know, these are Laura Fine and Daniel Biss, like them or not, and Kat Abu Ghazaleh, they have very different backgrounds, right? She's young, as you mentioned. She's best known probably for being a content creator, a sort of progressive content creator. Biss, state legislator, fine state legislator. Biss ran for governor against J.B. Pritzker in that primary 8 years ago. And now he's a mayor. And so it's sort of that idea of establishment, you know, work your way up through the ranks versus content creator, and which model of politician is going to win out in the future. I'll be watching for that reason. I don't know that anyone else is paying too much attention to that aspect of this, but our time is running short. So Mitchell Armantrout, I want to come back to you. And, you know, it's the only really statewide competitive race for other elected positions than the ones we've talked about is the Democratic primary for controller. Susana Mendoza is not running for re-election. A number of women looking to replace her. Can you talk about what's going on there?
Right. You got Margaret Croak, who's a state representative, former staffer for Governor J.B. Pritzker, very close ties to the Pritzker administration. And her campaign accounts will reflect that in terms of the success she's had fundraising. I think it's safe to call her the favorite.
Yeah, no such
race.
Limit, as I mentioned, for federal. No such limits here in Illinois, really.
No. Yeah. Let the dollars keep on flowing in at the state level. But also in this race, you've got State Senator Karina Villa, who's really made a name for herself since the enhanced deportation immigration enforcement effort under the Trump administration. She's based in West Chicago. There was a video of her trying to chase some ICE agents out of West Chicago last summer that really picked up traction online and kind of helped her build a little bit more of her brand. How that applies to the Office of Controller, I don't think there are any actual tangible connections, really. But, you know, in terms of just getting out in front of voters, folks pay attention to that. That's for sure. Stephanie Kifowit is another state representative who's, you know, taking a look at this race as well. I think it's it really feels like this race is kind of coming down to Margaret Croak, Holly Kim, Karina Villa. This is one of those statewide offices that folks don't really have. I think the average person doesn't really, you know, think too much about who's literally paying the bills, you know, for the state. But I believe the controller's office is also responsible for a certain cemetery licensing in the state. So, you know, kind of an obscure position overall. But, you know, that you wouldn't get that impression from, you know, these ads that a lot of folks are seeing on their TVs about which candidate, you know, can stand up to Donald Trump the most. So this is another sort of interesting test of Governor J.B. Pritzker's brand and how powerful that still is in Illinois versus, you know, Karina Villa, I think it's safe to say, kind of comes from the more progressive, farther left wing of the Illinois Democratic Party. So it will be an interesting barometer of that tomorrow as well.
Yeah, the ferocity of this, and we're pretty much out of time, but I guess it does speak to the level, the number of Democrats in Illinois who want to move up to bigger and more responsible and better paying and more prominent positions, and just how few opportunities there are in a state as crowded with Democrats as this is. Mitchell Armantrout with the Chicago Sun-Times, Mawa Iqbal with Illinois Public Radio and WBEZ in Chicago, thank you so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, it's NCAA tournament time. We're going to talk about how to make your brackets if you want to dip your toe into the world of AI. It's the 21st Show. We'll be right back.